Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif
and RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way! You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where we will welcome your engagement and your scorn in this segment on the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorney text line 877-881-1053 or the Twitch or the YouTube. Is Dak Prescott still just not a big game quarterback?
Hey, Kevin. To that point, you kind of said your scorn or your engagement.
Yes.
Tolo walking through the halls of our building moments ago.
Oh, that seems dangerous.
We'll call him Ron.
Okay.
He stopped us and said, "Hey, huge Tolo. He's working here, dude." And
well, that's not what you said.
Everybody that works is a Tolo and people that don't work. So that covers all the bases.
That's good.
And he stopped me and said, "Hey, can you do me a favor? Can you help me get Joe Milton promoted to quarterback?"
Oh, to starting quarterback?
And he went through a list of things that Dak is not good at. And he admitted that Dak is playing well, but he's not it. And I remember after the San Francisco loss, I tweeted out, "Dak's not that dude."
Yeah.
For the first half of this season, I've been watching a guy that I was like, he can be that dude. Like he's playing at a different level right now. And then Sunday's game was bad.
Yeah.
He physically looked like he could not make some throws. And I was like, he hasn't done that all season. That ball looked soft.
Yeah.
And so I think Dak Prescott this year is playing some of the best football I've ever watched him play. And I really like it. And I don't know exactly where the rest of this conversation is going, but I wanted to let it be known that Tolo Ron said that.
Okay, so quick question as we get into this. I'll read you the rest of the schedule. You tell me, and I know it will be situationally dependent, but just if you had to say right now, how many more really big games are on the schedule? So you host Arizona, you're at Las Vegas, you host Philadelphia, host Kansas City, and you're at Detroit. Though that feels like a three-game run right there, that is another opportunity to take down some big games, right? Because you look at the first Philadelphia game, and this is on...
I think there's five.
Ooh, what are the other two?
I got the Philadelphia, the Chiefs, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Chargers.
Okay, so...
I think those two are big games as well.
Okay, so that's five consecutively.
Yep.
So you have an opportunity to start to break this kind of line of thinking. I guess maybe my line of thinking. The first Philadelphia game, it's unfortunate because that was a big game. And if not for CeeDee Lamb drops, do you feel like, hey, you would have had one on the ledger? But this was a big game. You go into Denver where you haven't won in 80 million years. And the last four times you have won in Denver or against Denver, you've gone on to the Super Bowl and you're against a team that's 5-2, chance to win back-to-back games for the first time this season. And the defense was awful, but the offense also did not play well. And I've just accepted that the defense is always going to be terrible. But look at how the game started. Field goal offensively. Field goal, punt, 3-and-out, punt. Touchdown, punt, 3-and-out, interception. So if you look at that first half, you did have a touchdown. You did have a field goal that probably should have been a touchdown, if not for either curious play calling or that dumb penalty. But you also had three punts, two of which were 3-and-outs and an interception when the game still felt like it was achievably winnable. And I think the problem that goes along with this was Dak's chance to just solidify his MVP candidacy this year. He's going up against a top five pass defense with elite cornerbacks. And even though I know one of them got hurt, all right, he was fourth in the league in completion percentage going in, second in yardage, second in passing touchdowns, eighth in passer rating. And all of that happened. He was 19 of 31 for 188 yards, two interceptions, 51.5 passer rating. And on longer passes, so 10 plus air yards, 4 for 7 with an interception and a passer rating of 58.3. So I started to think, it is still a regular season game, a big regular season game, but a regular season game nonetheless. So I decided to like do a couple of different things when it came down to breaking down the playoffs. Okay. Because one of the things that people would bring up about Romo is what did the defense do, right? What did the defense do? Dak is 2-5 in the playoffs. If you had to guess, what do you think the defense gives up on average in those playoff games?
About 20 points.
Okay. Alec?
Right around there, about 2 or 3 scores, yeah.
22 points.
Ooh, 23.7.
Okay.
Because they've given up 166 points. However, in those 7 games, Dak has also given up 24 points. Now, that's 24 points
total.
Gotcha. And those are on things that either he gave up a pick six, for example. We can go ahead and throw this one out there. Go ahead and give me cut number 14. I know people know this one very well. Or he like threw a pick that led to a field goal because he were already inside like the 10 or the 20 or whatever the case might be.
Big 2nd and 2. Prescott in the gun, fakes the inside handoff. Slants picked off. At the 50, this might be a house call. To the 30, it's Darnell Savage. All the way in, 50-yard-plus return. That does not help.
That was a good way to put it. So I took that into consideration. And what I took away from those playoff games is, has the defense been good? Not particularly. Have they been god-awful, though? No. 24 points, not ideal for your defense to give up. But if I told you, in most games going in, your team's going to give up 24 points. You don't think your team's going to lose for sure,
right? I feel like I'm going to tie that game.
Okay, yeah, maybe so.
I feel like the Dax Cowboys can score 24 points.
So I don't think...
His best game is Tampa. His best playoff game is Tampa.
For sure.
4 touchdowns, no interceptions, was it like a 140-something quarterback rating?
Against a sub-500 team, but a playoff team that had won their division nonetheless.
But that's his cleanest playoff game.
So keep in mind what you just said when I throw out these numbers. So my first thing that I've determined, it's not the defense that has torpedoed all of these games. Some of them, sure. In the regular season, Dak has 79 wins, 50 losses, and 1 tie.
Pretty good.
In the playoffs, 2-5. His touchdown interception ratio, strictly passing touchdown to interception. We're not factoring in either fumbles or rushing touchdowns. 2.71 to 1 in the regular season. In the playoffs, it drops to 2 to 1. All right. So you might be like, oh, that's not so bad. That's almost a touchdown difference per interception. His average per pass yards is 0.4 yards lower in the playoffs. Again, every tenth of a point matters in this, and that's a drop as well. His quarterback rating in the playoffs is 7 points lower than it is in the playoffs. So if you want to factor in the defense, we can have another part of the conversation about that. But these are some of the major metrics: touchdown interception ratio, yards per pass, and quarterback rating. All of them are down, and in some cases significantly down for Dak Prescott in the playoffs. And so that, go ahead.
And now, I don't know Tom Brady's numbers and how much they reduced from there, so I don't know that. But Kevin, the one thing I do know is every playoff game that I've watched Dak play seems like he starts slow. It just seems like all the playoff teams that he's been on come out very flat.
And that's an interesting point because it ties in right here. And this is where I think the disconnects exist. In the 214, put Dak behind a competent offensive line on a team run by a true GM with an owner that doesn't meddle. He'd be lighting it up, etc. He did have a true offensive line. He had an amazing offensive line. He had an amazing offensive line multiple years in his career. Plus, that discounts the fact that why are the numbers so good here and not here? You know, like, it would be different if
That's the Cowboys' M. The Cowboys' MO the last 3 years or so, exactly. So has been we beat up on bad teams.
Exactly. And so that's where I struggle with the idea that you just all chalk it up to the GM. Does the GM take some of it? Absolutely. But it's not like we all think Dak is awesome and in the regular season he's 50 and 79. He's 79 and 50, and you see all of his major numbers drop in the playoffs. And that's why I'm glad that you said that there are still five big games. I don't necessarily think that the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs, but you just had your second, probably, no, your third ginormous game of the season. And you've won none of them, but he was phenomenal in the Green Bay game. Not his fault that they tied.
Big games, does it matter if they're on the road?
It does, but I actually think maybe a little bit more weight goes into that, right?
Okay.
Don't you think? Because we have no question he's been tremendous at home. So you go Philadelphia, lose. Denver, lose. Green Bay, tie. But like you just said, you have five more opportunities. So let's say they make the playoffs. I know people are down on the Cowboys in general, but if you go through that run of Philly, Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota, and the Chargers, and Dak is showing out in those games, and you manage to win them, I will tell you that will give me significantly more confidence going into the playoffs, and he can shake this trend, because I feel like you've seen this Cowboys team back into the playoffs plenty of times and give you no confidence. If you were able to run the gut, like if you go 4-1 against Philly, Kansas City, Detroit, Minnesota, and the Chargers, not saying that's going to happen, but if you did, wouldn't that give you like a crap ton of confidence going into the playoffs?
Yes.
And probably a crap ton of confidence in Dak, because I don't envision going on a 4-1 run where you're like, man, that defense really won you multiple games.
A couple things here. One, somebody said, you know, the teams are better in the playoffs, right? That's the point of the conversation here. I believe is
you.
That whenever you play better teams,
thank you for listening.
Things are tougher. Tony Romo did say, you heard the, they can win 9 games.
Yeah.
They can win about half of them because Dak's good enough.
Yeah.
Your quarterback is good enough to win about half of the games that you play.
Agreed.
Half the games you play are going to be against bad teams.
Yes.
Because, Kevin, there are five different categories of teams in the NFL. Really good, which has few teams. Really bad, which has few teams. And in the middle, which has lots of teams and is broken up into threes, and you're a sub-mediocre team. Dak can get you half the wins for a regular season because half the schedule is going to be bad.
Yeah.
And the other half of it is going to be good, and you got to be able to figure out how to win the other half of it. And now somebody was pointing out in this division, the Cowboys have been taking advantage of it for a while because either somebody's been down, but usually it's two bad teams and one other good one.
See, and so I disagree with that. I know there was a rap on the NFC East for a while, but you have also had multiple seasons like last year, and I believe it was 2 years before maybe, where this division was right at the top in terms of just as good of an overall record as any other division in football. I think the divisional narrative is a little bit overblown.
I think usually there's two good teams and two bad ones. A mediocre one and a bad one.
See, but isn't that a good division?
Like even the year that the there were three teams in the playoffs, the Giants were fool's gold, and they proved that in the playoffs.
And unfortunately, I feel like usually aren't the Cowboys that pivot team? Maybe the fool's gold team.
Yeah.
And so like that just kind of goes back to the point. And so I hate saying this, but I wanted to bring it outside of just the playoffs. Maybe it's just a narrative of big games. And so this was a big game on Sunday. Dak failed. The offense failed. I know the defense, obviously, they get an F-. So then the question is going to be, you get your Arizonas, you get your Raiders, and those two teams are terrible. Well, guess what? If you lose those teams, the rest of your season's not going to matter. But let's say you do win those games. You're 5-4-1. What is your confidence level heading into the Philadelphia game in just Dak in this offense? I'm taking the defense out of the equation because I don't think anyone in the universe has faith in this defense right now. My question is to you, if you win those games, you're 5-4-1 going into your gauntlet stretch. What is your confidence in Dak and the offense to show up in these big games?
Man, you know, Kevin, if you are going to ask that and you're asking me who's the better quarterback on that day, go back and look at the list of quarterbacks he's played against. All right, let's go through this real quick. the first playoff game Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Well,
and that was prime time Aaron Rodgers.
That was prime Aaron Rodgers.
And I actually think if you go back to that game, I still think to this day, I kind of thought Dak outplayed him.
You think so?
I do. I don't know if the numbers will back me up on that.
The next, I'd have to look at the numbers too, but it did take a while for them to get going. Dak ended up having a good game late in that game, but to start, it was very slow. Then he beats Russ. At that point, Russ was on his decline.
Right.
Then he loses to Jared Goff because Mike pointed out they ran for 10 yards. And then on the first play, he was like, we're going to lose. He lost to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes.
Beat a retiring Tom Brady.
At a time when he was not good.
And lost to Brock Purdy and lost to Jordan Love. Are all of those guys better quarterbacks than him?
No. No. And I, well, you
Rodgers
know what?
Rodgers was.
Actually, pause.
Goff probably is.
And I think
Goff's
that's,
been to two Super Bowls now.
Yeah, and that's are we having or, to concede
no, been
the
to
point
one going,
on Goff now? Are people to the point where they would concede that Goff is better than Dak? Because if not, that's when I say no, is because that makes me rethink my own opinions. Because I'm like, well, he's better than Purdy. He's better than Goff. He was better than that version of Russell Wilson. He was better than that version of Tom Brady. And then you have to like stop and go, hold on. Maybe I'll concede Tom Brady, that version of Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm off about Purdy. Maybe I'm off about Goff.
What about
Maybe,
Jimmy G?
Yeah, he's better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
and
but they
yet
lost.
Here we are.
They only put up, what, 17 points in that game.
And so then, to a certain extent, doesn't that feel kind of stupid to say? Like, yeah. I don't want to so get...
That's the thing. When you ask, I go into a big game, Kevin, with Dak, and I feel like I got a good quarterback. Do I know that I have the best quarterback on the field? Not every game. I don't think he's the difference in the game. I think it's like if I go into it, I'm thinking I'm really going to need an awesome defensive effort because I need to keep this one close enough for Dak to make the right plays.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's the difference in big games.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And see, and that's what worries me at a time when we all think that
but
this,
I want him to be.
Yeah, see?
I hope he can be at some point. I hope all this experience that he has pays off at some point, but I don't believe it right now.
I'm a Cowboys fan before I'm a I need to be right about the Cowboys fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want him to be, but I think my worry is if we get to those five games and they still matter, I know the defense is going to struggle, but now I'm worried that the offense can't put up the numbers that they need to win the game. Well, lots of engagement there. Most of it.
We are engaged.
Positive. Not,
that's nice.
Not all of it. It was nice. Coming up next, we're going to move into the expressway. We got NFL overreaction or reality, plus the Tuesday tailgate coming at you next right here on The Fan.
Point Denver lead. They're looking for more. Back to throw. Flag. Free play. Throws it in the left corner of the end zone. Bryant got right behind the cornerback Bridges for the touchdown Broncos. 24 yards, perfect strike from Bo Nix.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
That's an Aggie for you, you know?
Oh, okay.
I thought I was
that
off air.
That is an off air conversation.
When did my mic get turned
you
on?
Jerks. Right now, we're going to do NFL overreaction or reality. In a few minutes, we got the Tuesday tailgate. All right, NFL overreaction or reality. And I think I know your answer. And I
reality.
Think, okay. The Dak MVP talk is over for the season.
Overreaction.
Really?
Reality.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reason I say that is because I'm falling into the Kevin's right. I don't say that often.
Shocker.
When it comes to your team has to be winning.
Right.
And if they're just barely a playoff team,
yeah,
and his numbers are there, it's very similar to Baker Mayfield, right?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield had good numbers last year.
Yeah.
But his team was, yeah. And so that's where I feel like it's officially over because you're trying to figure out whether or not they can win, and I don't think they're in that category, so...
Alec, what say you?
I'm going to go overreaction for now.
Oh.
Give it one more loss. It's 100% done. I just think that the quarterbacks on good teams this year have been wickedly inconsistent. So I think that's going to lend itself to the idea that there might be room for one more bad game. Just one more. But in all actuality, it probably is. But you've seen Baker have an game. You've seen some of these other quarterbacks have an game. And until Daniel Jones really gets the respect that he deserves for what he's done, I think this is wide open still.
Now, I'm going to give you some background on this. Lamar Jackson was listed as a full participant before then being downgraded to limited the next day. And then they were like, oh yeah, it was a clerical error. John Harbaugh specifically said, yeah, that's in the training room and on PR and the other side. It's not on the football side. Overreaction to reality. You believe John Harbaugh.
Reality for him.
Full of crap.
Reality for him.
Okay.
I don't think he pays attention to that stuff.
Oh,
I think I do think there are other coaches that are like very into that.
You know who else was really into it? The Gamblers.
Oh, they were. Yeah.
It's a weird thing because Gamblers might have been complaining more than anybody. And what's NFL supposed to do?
Yeah, I do wonder how. That's a great question, Kevin, for Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton and sometimes Aiden's show.
Mm. Sometimes Carter.
Really? That seems really early for
you've
him.
Done that show before.
Yeah.
The once that counts. That's before.
But it's a good, I feel like that would be a good question for them to ask Schottenheimer on Friday.
Yeah.
Is, hey man, when it comes to the injury report, how much are you invested in that?
Paying attention?
Yeah. Do you write that a little note?
Yeah.
Cause I do feel like a lot of times we'll talk to the coaches and they'll say, we listen to them first.
Right.
We listen to the trainers and the medical staff. They tell us.
Right.
So maybe that's the case.
Alec, what say you?
I'm right there with Corey. I don't think he really cares all that much or reads into any of that. But like you said, the people that really care, I don't think coaches in general really care. I don't think they're watching that stuff throughout the week anyways. I think they're like, let's see who shows up on Sunday. Kind
okay.
of thing, you know,
yeah.
so
yeah.
I think it's more of just people, their money is getting mad. So they're getting mad at the coach and they're saying, well, the coach should know better and everything, but he doesn't really care. And at the end of the day, I don't really care as long as I'm able to update my fantasy team in time. And as long as no rules were violated in the process, which, hey, I don't really know. It seemed like it might have violated a rule,
yeah.
but if the league deems it so, then yeah, I disagree with everything he's saying here, but I'm with Corey on this one.
All right, we'll do some setup for this question as well. Myles Garrett had 5 sacks over the weekend, just the 20th game of 5-plus sacks in NFL history. He also...
Name all the 19 other ones.
I cannot.
Okay.
I definitely cannot.
I could if I wanted to.
The Falcons won against the Cowboys. and then Man. Also, he surpassed the mark by Reggie White for most sacks by a player before they turned 30, and Cleveland lost 32-13. Overreaction or reality? You feel bad for Myles Garrett.
I do, but
again, this is the life
he chose.
Chosen.
This life,
yeah.
Kevin, Derek Thomas had 7.
You're not going to list all of you.
Khalil Mack. Mm. Adrian Claiborne had 6.
There it is.
OCU Manura, Derek Thomas again. That's how badass Derek Thomas was, by the way.
He was. I don't think it's unfortunate that people don't talk about him as much as they should, just because he was in an era of just unfreaking believable defensive ends.
I'm not going to name all the rest of them, but Khalil Mack also had another one, so he had 2. Jim Jeffcoat had 5 against Washington in 1985.
Really? Okay.
There you go.
Good for him. Man, good for him. All right. Alec, what say you?
Overreaction. Like, he signed up for this. He made the demand, and he had all the leverage in that situation.
He could have gone to any team and still gotten paid by that team.
Exactly.
Probably.
And I don't think he realizes that. He took the easy way out. I think any team that would have traded for him would have given him a similar deal, if not maybe even more. Who knows? Yeah. We will never know that. That will be one of those things that, like, coaches and GMs will be talking on an NFL Films documentary 20 years from now, and they're like, yeah, we thought we had a good trade package for Miles. We're going to give him 42 a year. You know, so if he wants to sit there and complain about not winning, wipe your tears with your $40 million APY.
Yeah.
I do not care at this point. You signed up for that. Stand on the business.
Yeah. I will say this. I guarantee you, because we're saying this about Miles, knowing that when Micah said it, he got traded.
Yeah.
Like, you can take the trade.
Sure.
That being said, there is no way in hell, I believe, that when Micah wrote the note of, I don't want to be here anymore, he thought he would be traded.
I agree.
He thought he was leveraging to get the contract. Hey, you guys are going to, y'all are going to tuck tail and give me all the money I want because I am Micah Parsons. And I think the same thing with Miles. There's no way he thought he was going to be out of, they were going to trade him. But here they are.
I had a variation of this
Cowboys
question.
Cowboys were the ones with the cojones to do it.
I mean,
if that's what you call it.
I do. I had a variation of this question. So good on the 858. Overreaction or reality? There's a gambling ring in the NFL similar to the NBA one that just got uncovered.
Reality.
Oh, man, for sure, right?
Yeah. There. And Kevin, it goes back to that. I mean, that dude I was telling you about earlier, who said he had a Jets receiver back in the day.
Yeah.
That was like, here's what's going to happen. You owe me $250,000. I'm not letting you off with this one.
Right.
Here's what you're going to do. I know your family, by the way. The first 3 times you touch the ball, it goes on the ground.
Yeah.
And now you work for me until this debt's paid off. I'll decide when the interest that you owe me, by the way. 2% each week until it's paid off. And so, like, that's what I believe is that some guy had a little bit of there's probably a bunch of them that have a little bit of something going on, and they think they're untouchable, and then they find out they are.
Alec, you agree?
Yeah, it's a reality. I just think the NFL is the most primed and capable of covering things up at this point. So,
that's probably.
Yeah, they can handle business.
They can. There's a reason we haven't found out. And Pablo Torre is already telling us, hey, Antonio Gates.
Yeah,
we talked about it yesterday where, again, he might not have been active at the time, but
still,
NFL players and former players, they gamble too. They're humans with tons of money. They want to have fun, and then they screw up. And like Corey said, they have to work for somebody to keep their life intact.
I promise I heard Jerry this morning on the Sean, RJ, Bobby, Peyton, sometimes Aiden, one time Carter show. But with that in mind,
you can name all the other people that used to work here too. No, let's not.
Roy, Troy. Overreaction or reality? Trayvon Diggs will never play for the Cowboys again. I heard what Jerry said.
Overreaction.
But a tough call for you, apparently.
There he is. My reasoning is, I believe the Cowboys are like, we paid you, we want you to play. I also believe that guy likes money, and he's not going to get his money, like, unless he's playing.
Because
there's some penalties on the monies that he's not earning.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the place that he's in. Look, your value is not high enough to trade you, so we need something else out of you. Otherwise, you're going to be in a bad situation for quite some time.
Yeah.
So I think he will play another one, but I can't guarantee that, dude.
Alec, overreaction or reality, Trayvon Diggs will never play for the Cowboys again.
Overreaction. I think he's going to come off of IR and play the rest of the season whenever they dictate that he's ready. But I do think that this is his last run. I don't think he's going to be here next year. I think it'll be a post-June 1 cut to save all that money.
Okay.
Because I think at this point, whether it's intentional or not, I'm not blaming the Cowboys for this. His reputation has been smeared across the league. And whenever people start calling about asking, hey, like, what went on here? And should I add this guy to my team and whatever? People talk. A lot of people talk around the league, everybody through the media. Talks. Everybody talks. That was a really good song at one
it
point.
It was.
Neon Trees. Yeah. So, you know, whisper. It did. And then that whisper gets very, very loud across the league. So I do think that people are going to be turned away by the idea of plucking him away from the team and just say, let things kind of happen naturally there.
What else will turn them on?
Is this still another song lyric or is this back to a football question?
I'm asking, yeah, what else will turn teams on?
Oh, I mean, I heard this morning that young player who will come to your team, but you got to give a bushel full to get him. Like, right? I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not
we'll
as
do,
much
we'll
as
do
you
some
might
of that
think.
At 1 o'clock.
Okay. All right. So I know you're going to have doubts about this question, but hear me out. Jonathan Taylor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way! You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Overreaction or reality, Jonathan Taylor can win the MVP. Before you answer, consider this. He is on pace for 1,806 yards rushing and 26 touchdowns, as well as 53 catches and 438 yards and 4 touchdowns. That means he's on pace for a total scrimmage yards of 2,244 with 30 touchdowns. Overreaction or reality, Jonathan Taylor can win the MVP.
Reality.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, it's also an overreaction.
Oh, what?
Like, it's a reality that he can, but it's a quarterback-driven league, and it's a quarterback place, dude. Nobody's voting for anybody but quarterbacks.
Boo.
That being said.
Oh, my gosh. Does this say maybe so, but probably not unless we do?
We did go through their schedule. They don't have a tough schedule remaining.
Nope.
They could end the season at 14-3. Like, I'm looking at maybe even better.
Even Daniel Jones conceded that it would be Jonathan Taylor, not him, who is the MVP.
And if that's the case, if he keeps this up, I think it could happen, but I don't know. There's going to be a quarterback that everybody's like, oh my gosh, look at the season he's having.
NFL overreaction or reality, Alec, Jonathan Taylor can win MVP.
Reality, because without him, that team does not look the same. It's that simple. And I know their offensive line is really good. And I saw, I want to say it was Ted Wynn, but it was one of these film analysts that they tweeted out, and they're like, nobody could get a yard in the NFL. The average person couldn't. Here's the Colts offensive line, and Jonathan Taylor had like 8 feet of separation from the nearest defender on a handoff. Like, they're incredible. The whole team is just really, really good. But if you take him away from that, a lot of your flexibility offensively goes away, and you expect Daniel Jones to do that. Again, I'm not trying to knock him because he's playing really well, but you're changing the circumstances a lot at that point. If you take him away from that team is simply nowhere near as good, and they have a couple extra losses. I guarantee it.
Hopefully you guys are interested in more of this, and we can pick up this conversation tomorrow, because in the meantime, if you can give me cut number 15, please, it's time for the Tuesday tailgate.
Chadwick with a big boot. Concepcion backed up all the way to the 23 and breaks free. Look out. KC Concepcion still running. They're not going to catch him. KC Concepcion. Touchdown A&M, 79 yards.
And what a touchdown. Like, what a route he ran on the one in the end zone, too. That touchdown was amazing. He had a great game, dude.
He really did. And we bring on, of course, from Fan University, it is none other than Carter Freeman. Good afternoon, sir.
What's up, guys? One time Sean and RJ appear here.
See? He does all the shows. All right. So I want to talk about the historic nature of the Texas A&M win over LSU. We didn't really talk about it yesterday. Save the conversation for this. I really was concerned, despite how rough it had been for LSU, that this was going to be the place where the A&M hype went to die, because I've seen it happen so many times. But instead, they get to 8-0 for the first time since 92. They're 5-0 in the SEC in back-to-back seasons. It's the most points they've ever scored at LSU, and their largest margin of victory over LSU in Baton Rouge since 1975. What did you think about the game, and how impressive was that second half?
The whole season for A&M has just seemed like it's the time for them to get the monkey off their back.
Yes.
Whatever it may be, you know, road struggles, yes, against LSU, especially on the road, and just getting off to a hot start. And, you know, when they picked up the marquee win over Notre Dame early in the season, it was like, okay, like, here's proof of concept, and they've taken that and run with it. So it was mighty impressive, and the only reason LSU was really anywhere close in that game is because A&M was fumble farting around in the second quarter.
And they had a
couple
turnovers,
a blocked punt for a safety, right? So LSU still hasn't scored more than 25 points against FBS competition, because some of their points were from that safety, so that was on their defense, right? But just the fact that A&M, you know, hunkered down the second half, played their game, the game Mike Elko wants them to play, and end up, you know, scoring 35 straight points.
Which you said is to ground people into dust.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they do. Like, we had Tony Catalina of the Statesman on last week and on Fan University to preview the game, and he said there's no smoke and mirrors with Mike Elko. And I love that statement. Everything that team is everything Elko wants them to be. It's not the Jimbo, the talk of the class and the money and, you know, all of that exterior stuff. This is just a great football team.
Yeah, and I love that he's like still calling the defensive plays. Like, that's he's good at that. I like that about him. I'm curious about Marcel Reed's viability as the quarterback that's doing this thing, man. He's got some amazing, like, there were some throws that were just, touch was beautiful. And I'm just kind of looking at his progression as he's been at A&M. This is a pretty nice season that he's putting together right now.
Yeah, and just as far as the Heisman race goes, you know, seeing him take A&M to 8-0, be third ranked in the country, get a couple first place votes, like, there's still no one in my mind that's really the front runner for the Heisman. Like, we can talk about Diego Pavia in a little bit.
People could make their cases right now then, huh?
But I think for sure, like, this is a time where you're going to start to see that. And given that Marcel Reed has grown as a player and has taken A&M to places Kevin mentioned they haven't been since the early 90s.
Yes.
That he should 100% be at the forefront of this.
Wrecking crew, baby. All right. And so I had a couple of other things you mentioned, Marcel.
I am pulling for your guys, by the way.
Yes.
I'm just saying, I am pulling at this point. I'm hoping that that your boys at A&M get into that college football playoff and then try to rename it.
The A&M schedule sets up for that perfectly.
Yes.
You get a struggling South Carolina team at home.
Yep.
You get Missouri on the road.
They just lost their quarterback.
Yes, who's not going to play in that game. That's in 2 weeks, I believe. You get a FCS team in Samford, and then the road game at Texas.
Yeah.
So that sets up perfectly for A&M to go, in my mind, a minimum of 11-1.
Well, and if you're 11-0 and you lose that game to Texas, maybe that torpedoes because of the nature of the top of the SEC right now being in that game, but you're going to be in the playoff. Now, I would love to just absolutely smoke them, but one thing at a time. You know what? I know y'all are talking about them. Can you give me cut number 17? And this is still crazy. This is at LSU.
Those are LSU fans chanting?
Okay. Most of the LSU fans.
Yeah, they all converted,
they left.
Right?
Yeah, that's what we do.
There was a shot when they came back from commercial where it showed the Aggie band and a bunch of fans, and it looked like the game was at Kyle Field.
Yes.
And then they panned out, and the stadium's empty.
Yes, because so many LSU fans had left, and then they got rid of, obviously, Brian Kelly right after the fact, and they're going to pay him all of the money. I do believe, because we talked about this last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, we're now above what, $200 million in buyouts?
With Kelly, yeah. I mean, him and James Franklin at Penn State constitute over $100 million of that. And then throw in some of the other coaches have gotten fired. Yeah, it's adding up pretty quick. And it's not even November. It's still October. There are still several other jobs that could come open.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, Diego Pavia. Diego Pavia was asked after their win over Missouri if he believes in he should win the Heisman Trophy. And he goes, hell yeah, I believe it. For whatever reason, I guess shouldn't it's he? Just, what's that?
Shouldn't he believe
I mean,
that?
Absolutely. But for whatever reason, confidence seems to bother a lot of people. What do y'all think about Diego Pavia in what has been another historic run with Vanderbilt? They're in the midst of their own even longer away historic
run. He's a massive part of that too.
For sure.
I mean, absolutely, especially the way they run that offense.
He's the driving force of it, and they wouldn't be where, and I know Clark Lee is a defensive-minded guy. He's done a lot of good things with Vanderbilt's defense, but you don't get to a top 10 ranking in the polls at Vanderbilt without a quarterback doing what he's doing, right? It's just, I've said it the whole season, it's wild to watch them match up with other SEC teams and they just look the part.
Yes. Because
they never have. But yeah, it's all on Pavia, and he didn't even have his best game against Missouri, but they didn't have to win, didn't have to get another win against a top 20 ranked team. And yeah, within a year where there's not a whole lot of front runners, he should absolutely be up there. You know who he's like? He's like Cam Scataboo, but a quarterback. Just the way he goes about his business.
Ooh, okay.
He's just this big blockhead that's really good at football and acts like it.
I did see Choppy. Somebody like tweeted that they couldn't believe that the school, that Vanderbilt, was having to do like a campaign for Pavia to get. And Choppy was like, every school that has a candidate does that. Every single one of them wants their guy to be noticed.
Sure. I don't have a particular issue with that whatsoever.
No, me neither. And when usually,
well, that's because A&M, you're hoping that they do that for Marcel.
Yeah, because you're in it this year.
Yeah.
Hey, otherwise, I just want our team to win. If Marcel Reed wins a Heisman, great. But I'm more concerned about our team, all right? Because when we started this good in 92.
You did have the Johnny Football era where he won Heismans.
But you weren't in the mix, although I still say.
Heisman.
To this day, if there was a playoff then, I think A&M could have won it all. Because that team had taken off with Manziel once you got past the midpoint of the season.
Yeah, and even the losses that season, it was like by 3 to Florida and by 4 to LSU.
Exactly.
Like they were 7 points away from probably winning the national title that year.
Yeah.
Because they would have beaten Notre Dame.
Absolutely. I agree with that. All right, let's go to another history-making quarterback. I know they lost the game a couple weeks ago, so it makes some of these perhaps feel less important, but Drew Mestemaker throws for 608 yards. Now, we can all admit maybe their PR team needs to be better, but Mestemaker going for 608 yards passing for North Texas, who scored 37 straight points to beat a crappy Charlotte team. Tell me about it.
He had 500 of those by the end of the third quarter, too.
Unbelievable.
I mean, it was just crazy that UNT wasn't scoring to go along with those points, because this was, I believe, maybe a seven-point game late into the third quarter before UNT ended up pulling away and winning big. But yeah, this is the first 600-yard passing game in the FBS since, I believe, 2020. And I think that was that was Mike Leach's first year in the SEC at Mississippi State. That was whoever Mississippi State's quarterback was beat LSU. So that was Leach doing it back then, and now a Leach disciple and former player, Eric Morris, his quarterback, did it for UNT, which I think is a pretty cool connection.
Go Mean Green, baby. I love it.
And you got a big game against Navy this week.
Navy's undefeated.
They are. They have the highest. They've received the most votes of a team that's not ranked in the AP poll, so they're 26, right? UNT's still getting a couple votes in there, so it's, you know, the battle of the receiving votes this weekend. But I'll be interested to see. UNT's played in a big game already, and they came out and did not look prepared for it against South Florida. So what did they learn from that game, and how can they do that better this time against Navy?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that could be a definite help for them, because they looked panicked in a big game. Like they were like, we've never been here before, and which is true. They didn't feel like they had been in that kind of position where they had that kind of power to make something happen. I think this is the one. I think they can sink Navy.
Do you think? Nice.
I like that.
Do you think they should be as sizable favorites as they are? Like, they're favorites by about a touchdown, 6.5 points. The last I saw.
I'll take it.
So this Navy is not exactly the they still run the triple option.
Your grandfather's triple option.
It's not your grandfather's
only,
triple option. Yeah. Earlier this year, they played a game against Air Force, another service academy, right? Where both quarterbacks had over 300 yards passing. Like, the Navy will pass the ball. They're a little more conventional than they used to be. So just the fact that maybe UNT will have more time of possession, right? It's not going to be totally suffocated by the Service Academy. Maybe that's why they're a little bit. And look, UNT is one of the best offenses in the country. They just put up points. It's what they do. Their quarterback passing for 600 yards.
Yeah, it's just it really is about the minesweepers and the guys that are out there, you know, trying to prepare the submarines.
I love that game.
Minesweeper?
Oh, yeah.
And Battleship. Huh.
I wasn't any good at it, but I always loved playing
Nobody
it.
Knows why how the game works. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Just you just click, push a button and all of a sudden buttons. Everything opens
and
up.
You and you hope all of a sudden a lot of space opens up.
You don't, I don't even know how you win that game.
Do you think they invented electronic Battleship because of technology or to cut down on all the cheating?
Oh, to cut down all the cheating.
Because you're like, oh, yeah, no, you missed. And you just moved.
No, come on. Yeah. And you know there are definitely people that cheated. I think Broadus has admitted 100%. To it.
If there's a way to cheat, people will find a way to cheat.
Oh, that is a good point. All right. What to do? What to do now with Arch Manning? I know he didn't practice yesterday.
Bench him.
He's going through concussion protocol.
Hey, that one throw that their backup made against Mississippi State, that was an awesome throw.
What do you think? Do you think Arch is going to be back for their next game? Do you think they should take a little bit of extra time because you don't want to mess around with concussion protocol? And he has been struggling. Although that comeback against Mississippi State was pretty remarkable.
It was. And it's so bizarre that Arch seems to be better. He plays better when Texas is behind by a bunch because the reason they're behind is Arch is throwing, he threw a couple picks. The offense couldn't move the ball at all in the second, third quarters. But the thing about that game is Mississippi State should have won by 20.
Yeah.
They're up 17 with about 10 minutes left. But Mississippi State hasn't won an SEC game in 2 or 3 years at home as well. They haven't won one there since, I think, 2022. Texas is coming off a season where they go to the CFP final. They won the Big 12 in 2023. Those players, that coaching staff, they know how to handle success.
Yeah.
That's how they were able to make the right plays at the right time to end up tying that game late and then winning in overtime. As far as Arch goes, if it's a concussion, I don't think he's going to play. And I think you just gotta have faith that your backup, who's been there for 7 or 8 games now, can just step in and just be serviceable for that game. Because it's not like Arch has been lights out the entire season. So if Texas is going to win, it's going to be a full team effort, right? You're not going to rely on the backup to come in and light things up.
Now, to go along with that, I want to play this cut number 18. How much do you believe, because he's very passionate about this, that neither Sark nor any of his representatives reached out to the NFL?
I'd love to touch on this, so bear with me for a second, because it really pisses me off that one person can make a report that in turn the entire media sports world runs with as factual, to the point of my agency and my agents have to put a statement out that they never have done. Historically, CAA, Jimmy Sexton, and Ed Manowitz have never do that. But I had to do that to protect my locker room and my team. And I thought it was absolutely ridiculous. I thought it was completely unprofessional of that person to put that report out. And the fact that everybody ran with it is borderline embarrassing for the media. And I respect what you guys do. I really do. And everybody else. But the fact that everybody ran that as truth is really embarrassing. Okay, so I've got a small circle when I make decisions on what I do and what I don't do. And nobody would speak on my behalf without me knowing. And so where that report came from, I'd love to talk to that person because it's absolutely ridiculous.
I think Lane Kiffin handled it better.
Because yeah, as far as
the Florida stuff went, he said, I'm going to talk to my team about it, because the last time he did that, last time Lane Kiffin went through this with Auburn several years ago, he didn't address it. And Mississippi State or Ole Miss fell apart at the end of that season. So now with his name popping up for, you know, LSU, I saw his name come up there with Florida, with all these other big jobs. He just addressed it with his team and said, look, these things are going to come up. We just need to play through it. You know, continue to play as a team. Don't let that stuff affect you. And they go out and beat OU. Sark going to the media and being this vehemently against it makes me believe it even more. That yes, someone from his agency did put feelers out. Because I think that's fairly, that's not the craziest thing in the world for for your agent to do.
Sure.
If Sark is out there calling people saying, hey, I want the Titans job, that'd be a little weird. But your agency is out there for your betterment. And if your betterment is going to the NFL, which is something Sark has talked about getting back to at some point, then yeah, I don't think it's that crazy.
Do you believe he or his people reached out?
I can see that. He may not have been like, hey, I want to do that, but I can see his people being interested in it for sure.
But I believe him when he's like, we're not doing that
right
at this moment. I am curious, though. You said something that really I thought was fascinating the other day, and that was Lane Kiffin and like the idea that anywhere else that's not in the position that Ole Miss is currently in, mm-hmm. he would have to work to get them up to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would he leave a place that he's at that's already there?
Yeah, and like A&M, Ole Miss's upcoming schedule sets up perfectly for them to go 11-1. It's Mississippi State, it's Kentucky, it's a couple other that also rans in the conference.
And some deep money in that school too. Deep money.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how that plays out, but what a fun time if A&M's in the playoff and Ole Miss and maybe even Vanderbilt. Like,
yeah. You can be wacky. Shirtless with yoga instructors.
You think Sark is going to ask all the Vandy people this weekend about Nashville since he's going to, you know, that's the place where the Titans are?
I mean, just
get some feelers out there now.
That, maybe if they lose, maybe he will. All right, we'll catch up with you again on Thursday. Thank you very much. And when can people hear Fan University this weekend?
Saturday, 9-1. We will actually be at the Jake's Burgers off of Greenville Avenue in Dallas. We got a live broadcast, so we'll be there. We got Shiner specials, and we got another big day of SEC football. Just never, you know, with the way these conferences are so big and the way that they make the schedules, it's a full day of awesome football. So this Saturday, 9-1, Jake's Burgers off of Greenville. Come out and see us.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh my gosh, guess what's about to happen?
What? The level of concern. Oh.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way! You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.